Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to Draft Fest. We are at Rouse's Market on Airline and the Bar. Download the Rouse's shopping app and get free curbside pickup on orders $35 and more. And what began Thursday night with the Jacksonville Jaguars taking Trayvon Walker is now just about over. That was the first pick, the Georgia Bulldog, and now we are at pick 262.
Well, now, Hossein, Mike, calling y'all both Mike.
There's only two of us here. We'll answer it all.
Yeah.
Okay. So we know how to answer.
So you know we were talking about, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, the Kent Lee Platt's relative athletic score metric, which gives the player a score 0 to 10, scale relative to testing numbers, size, and position. Mm-hmm. Penning scored a 9.96, which ranks sixth highest amongst 1,216 offensive tackles since they started this data tracking, and it became available in 1987. Yep. That was the first winning season. That was a strike year. We won 12 games with the Saints. So if that's the – I don't know. How can you not have success when you look at that? Now, the Who Dat Nation loves this quote. Penning said, there's not many – he ain't that humble. You don't need to be humble. Just kick ass. You know, if you can back it up, so what? You know what? You don't want him to be passive. I think Andrews Pete is too passive. I'd rather Andrews Pete be more like this. You know what Penning says? There's not many offensive linemen who are as physical as I am. Just the combination I've got of power, strength, athleticism. I think I'm going to bring that to New Orleans. Who's against that? But who? Hell yeah. That's the kind of son of a gun you want. Now, to show you how the Saints are structured.
Brock Purdy, by the way.
Yeah.
Who becomes Mr. Irrelevant.
Mr. Irrelevant.
We'll get back to it. Go ahead.
Brock, the quarterback.
The quarterback Iowa from State. Iowa State.
He struggled against Louisiana Lafayette,
though. Is that perfect in this draft where the quarterback doesn't go until the 20th pick, nothing until after that third round, and yet here we are, Brock Purdy, a quarterback, gets Mr. Irrelevant in the year that may be with irrelevant quarterbacks. We don't know.
Right.
We don't know.
And think about it. Last year, Grant Sturd got picked, the Mr. Irrelevant. He played in every game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, wow.
All 17 games.
Right.
We got
Dennis the special Saints
teams.
Are ready?
Let's
well
go.
Done. Let's hear from Dennis Allen.
So, I think we added to our depth. We added to our competitiveness on our team and felt like we added, both defensively and in terms of special teams, added some value to our team. Well, we sat around for a little while with the fourth round, I think every time you're getting close to your pick, you're kind of looking at things you could do, move up, move down, any of that type of stuff. And so all those things were on the table, but obviously, again, kind of like we did yesterday, we felt like when we got to our pick, our guy was there, and we went ahead and just stayed there and picked him. No, I think it's really just based on how the draft goes. Obviously, day one, we felt like there was a guy we wanted to go up there and get and felt like we needed to go get him. And we felt like in days two and day three, we felt like letting the draft kind of come to us, and that's kind of the way it worked out.
Who's the first Jackson brother? What did you like about him? Because he's at a position where y'all have a lot of young guys you've drafted over the last few years, and yet you saw a reason to go get him?
Yeah. We felt like he was an athletic player. We felt like he had a lot of the qualities that you guys have heard me talk about in the last couple of days. I mean, he's another guy that's, really tough. He's smart. He's versatile. He's highly competitive. He was a two-time captain there. We felt like he was somebody that fit into our system, can do some of the things that we're asking him to do. And also there's a special teams vision with the player. And so, we felt like there was a lot of things that he could provide to our team that, would benefit us.
Is he somebody you look at all the linebacker positions, or do you have a specific role in?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I think really with all of our guys primarily, we're kind of looking at what can they do from a stack back linebacker position. So kind of a Mike Will vision for the player and felt like his speed was something that we really liked.
Yeah, just overall, do you feel like you've addressed all the needs that you needed to in these 3 days on this team?
Well, look, I think we've addressed a lot of needs. This is a process that's – I don't know that this process ever ends. You're always looking for ways to improve your team. And so, as a matter of fact, I'm going to get up here pretty soon, and we're working on – the college free agents. We'll go through that process, and then we'll evaluate where we are after that and see what else we need to do to try to help our team. So I don't think that's a never-ending process.
So the slope and possibly some veterans come in after this process is over?
Yeah, that door is always open. There's a lot of things that go into those things, but certainly if there's a player out there that we feel like can help us and we feel like it makes sense for us, we're going to go try to do it.
How many college free agents do
you
all expect to
agree to do? I don't know exactly what that number is going to be. I mean, I think the ultimate thing is if we feel like there's a college free agent that can help us be better, then we want to do that. And we're not trying to sign numbers just to sign numbers. We're trying to get guys that can help us win. I think there's some quality guys that are out there. So I think it remains to be seen who we're able to acquire through free agency. And I know that's something that our guys are going to be hard at work on, over the next hour or two and trying to find some guys that we feel like can help us. Yeah, he's more of an interior defensive lineman. Again, great kid, highly intelligent, graduate of the Air Force Academy. A lot of really good qualities about the player. Really liked some of the things he can do from a pass rush standpoint inside. Speed, explosiveness, size, length. Those are some of the athletic qualities that we really like about the player. So, felt like he was somebody that could come in and compete and develop and can help us, as an inside defensive tackle.
What was your approach to the quarterback position in this draft? Were you pretty confident that the board wasn't going to line up for you guys at that position, or there were scenarios where that might have happened?
Look, it was all part of the evaluation process, and it was all part of seeing how the draft played out certainly didn't feel like that was a position that we had to go try to address. Feel good about where we're at the position. So we evaluated the quarterbacks and the way the draft played out. We felt like that wasn't something that we needed to go and do and thought there were some players that could help us.
Obviously, you had a lot of conviction on Chris Olave since you traded up 5 spots to get him. I know Jeff Duncan reported kind of a healthy debate in the room between him and a defensive tackle. You don't have to go into it specifically, but is that – I mean, you couldn't ask for two more different positions and two different guys. I mean, does it come down to a philosophical what would help us more when you know it?
Well, I think a couple things. I think, number one, we go – our scouts are watching these guys and grading these guys for the entire year. And then after the season's over, let's just call it from around the combine until now, you know, the coaches get highly involved in the process. And so this is a process that takes a lot of time, and we go through grading all these players. And so you really, at the end of the day, you try to stick to your board. And then, you know, if you have a couple of guys that are graded in the same area, you got to make a decision on what you think's best for your football team.
Your running back situation complicated by Alvin's quarterback being so late and not knowing what discipline might become?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think that has any effect on us right now.
Are you comfortable with your depth there, or might you look ahead somehow?
Well, again, am I comfortable with the depth? Yes. Might we look to add somebody? Yes. But we might stay put. Again, like I said, if there's a guy out there that we feel can help us, then we're going to try to do everything we can to go get him.
Yeah, how was this process for you just going through it, being the head coach? And was it pretty natural, anything you learned? Just how was it?
No, look, I think it was a good process for me. You know, obviously, I think this is year 7 for me being back here, so I've kind of been through the process here and understood how we were going to go about doing things, and really not much changed from what we've done in the past. You know, certainly there's some, you know, being part of the final decision process was probably, you know, a little bit different, but overall I think it's fairly similar to what it's been like here in the past.
Did you take advantage of any of the extra mini camps or things you would allow?
Well, yeah, so we didn't go out on the field and practice. You know, just felt like and feel like this time of year, the number one emphasis for us should be getting our bodies right. And so strength and conditioning has been the primary focus. We'll get into some football activities starting on Monday.
Dennis, what do you think? I think y'all kind of excelled in the post-draft free agency market in the last couple of years. Seems like every year you guys get a player out there that can really help you.
Well, I think the biggest thing is I think we've done a pretty good job of identifying the types of guys that we're looking for, whether it be from a mental standpoint, from an athletic skill set standpoint, from a football intelligence standpoint. I think just having a clear vision for how we'll utilize a guy gives a guy a chance to come in and have success. And so I think that's probably the reason why we've had some success both in the draft and in free agency. Well, look, it's a collaborative effort. You know, we've gone through a million different scenarios of who we would take in certain situations, and we trust the process, and we trust the grades that we put on the players, and so there's not a lot of huge debate as to what we're going to do. We talk about a couple of different players, and then we kind of collectively come to the decision that we think's best for the organization. And so, you know, there's not a lot of, like, you know, huge debate on what we need to do. There's discussion, certainly, but there's not a lot of huge debate. Well, look, you know, there's some positions where we feel like we've added some pieces, and so the the sense of urgency to think that we we got to go out and try to acquire somebody as a free agent is probably not the same as maybe it would have been a few weeks ago. I think that's just kind of how the process goes. You start with the free agent process. That goes along for a couple weeks. Things kind of slow down a little bit. You kind of get through the draft, and then you reevaluate where you're at and see if there's anything you need to do to try to improve your team.
Do you feel urgency in any spots, or do you feel pretty good about everything you guys
have? I feel really good about where we're at as a team. Certainly we're always evaluating. But I feel good about the guys that we have on our team right now. All right, guys, appreciate it. Thanks.
Saints head coach Dennis Allen, as we actually talked earlier about that, he would probably be a man of few words as he came out. And I mean, he's quick. He's to the point. The thing that impressed me the most was that. So they start with 7 overall picks. They end up with just 5. And he goes, you know what? We're not just going to sign people to sign numbers. You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
get people to help us win. You had 15 draft picks. Yeah. Who cares?
Well, it's not like they don't want camp bodies.
Right.
They want to get someone. I think it's the same case in free agency.
Yep.
They want someone that might be a long shot but has a chance to make the team.
Bob, you'll like this, and it's not official, but they've come to terms. That means you ain't signed him yet. But Abram Smith is a guy that caught my mind. He's a running back from Baylor. He set the single-season Baylor rushing record last year, over 1,600 yards. Now, listen, this is his first year at running back.
There's a lot of upside there then.
No, he was a linebacker, special teams guy.
So you know he's tough.
And Dave Aranda swung him over and said, you know what, we need you at running back.
And he got 1,600 yards.
And first year as a running back college.
That's unbelievable.
And so he's also a really good receiver coming out of the backfield, kind of a shortcut guy. And then Joe DeBlanco, he has started the last 2 years with the Cincinnati Bearcats. He led the team in tackles. What was he before? He was a special team standout. And Mike will like this. He was the team captain.
So we have nothing but leaders.
That's true. I mean, didn't draft him, but he could have been in that. If the Saints had another 6 or something.
Remember, he used to have like 12 draft picks. So like for instance, Danny Abramovich. When was Danny Abramovich?
17.
He used to have 17 rounds.
Doug Wyatt, who came later, he was a 17th round
pick.
Yeah,
so that's why, it's a limited amount of players. That's why free agency, no, the guys can still play.
DeBlanco, though, is a guy I saw play a lot. He's a big thumper. He's a mic guy. He's 6 foot, 2.5, 240 pounds. But the fact that he was a standout special teams guy, and then he starts the next 2 years, leads the Bearcats in tackles the last 2 years, tells you something about they say, hey, that guy can play. And Abram, think about Abram, 1 year as a running back.
And have that kind of production.
And he broke the single-season rushing record for Baylor.
Now, and who knows, we might need him. I want both your opinion on this because it got pushed back to August 1st. Training camp is going to already have begun. Alvin Kamara. Okay, it's kind of like David Onyemata, out of sight, out of mind.
So the pushback, this is just the start of the process.
Okay, that's
August
what I mean.
1st is the start.
So Hawes, do you think that all of a sudden we could be in a role, he could start the season,
yes,
and then the middle of the season he gets suspended?
Yes.
So I hope this Baylor cat works out at running back.
Because August 1st, he hasn't even pleaded yet.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, let's don't get into the legal process. The answer in my world is it's going to take some time.
Well, the only reason why I brought it up, because that's why I'm looking. We didn't draft a running back, right. So now we got a running back in free agency, and then you look at Ingram and how we're going to lean upon him. But that's one area. Now, I guess when Kamara does, I heard a coach say this, when you do get suspended as a player, you know how they almost treat it? Like he's hurt.
You hurt.
Right.
Yeah, because the same thing, like David and Yamada, he got hurt and he's out the first six games. Yeah, exactly.
So do this.
They've also come to terms with Rashid Shaheed, who is a wide receiver, punt returner, kick returner from Weber State. You know what his nickname is? The Speed.
I love it.
How about that?
Yeah, he don't want a nickname the Slow.
It just shows you how much it's changed. The draft would end, and then we'd on Monday, or the 2 days it would take to get under it. Now
it's they like want it spontaneous.
Because they want it. They want
the
it out there.
Yeah.
They want it like, hey, look, we got these picks, and boom, these could have easily been draft picks, whatever. I mean, it's just a change.
He was he's the only player in the history of the Big Sky Conference. He won all Big Sky honors at three different positions. Punt returner, kick returner, wide receiver.
And Hoss, you would know this.
That's pretty good.
You being a James Madison alum and fan, the Big Sky, University of Montana, the Grizzlies, and that's one of the better conferences.
Oh, yeah. One of the divisions. Right. Those schools, the Montanas and, James Madison, North Dakota
Eastern
State.
Eastern Washington.
Right.
You know all that. Yeah, that's all.
You don't want to see them on the schedule.
Right.
At least not early.
Because they can upset you.
Let's do this. Oh, we are.
We're still waiting on Mickey.
Okay. Didn't realize that. So let's do this. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back, hear from Mickey. We'll give our final thoughts after that. But we are waiting on Mickey Loomis. He kind of started the draft with a little pre-draft press conference, and he will wrap it up for us as well. 621, we're at Rouse's Market on Airline and LeBar for a few more minutes. Bobby Avera, Mike D'Atelier, Draft Fest.
And see if Mickey says something.
Take a break.
If Mickey
WBL
says,
Radio.
We're going to
respond. All right, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Rouse's and Draft Fest 2022. Mike Oss, Mike D'Atelier, and Bobby Avera. We are awaiting Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis to come out and give his post-draft thoughts. We've already heard from Dennis Allen, and let me just recap it as we wait for Mickey to give everybody just, it was only five guys. I mean, the Saints started with seven, and then the trade up to get Chris Olave from Ohio State cost them their third and fourth round picks, but he was the 11th pick, the wide receiver out of Ohio State, and then the 19th pick, they had 16 and 19. They stayed at 19, Trevor Penning, Northern Iowa, the offensive tackle, and then did not pick until the second round, about the same position, the 49th position overall, Alante Taylor, the Tennessee cornerback, and then, as I said, off. And the no third-round pick, no fourth-round pick, did pick today, the fifth round, the Jackson 2, pick 161, DeMarco Jackson, the linebacker out of Appalachian State, and then at 194 in the sixth round, Jordan Jackson from the Air Force Academy, a defensive lineman. So that is the Saints draft class of 2022. Let me just pull up real quick because it does feel like a small class, so to speak.
That's why, Mike, I think you'll see them sign double digits.
And as Michael said, they're already busy free agent wise.
And Bobby will love this guy. The Saints have come to terms with Auburn safety Smoke Monday. Smoke Monday, Bob. How about that? He went to Carver High School in Georgia.
So wait, Smoke Monday? Why not Smoke Sunday?
I didn't question him all that.
Now, that's what I'd ask him. Okay, I understand the smoke. Because, if that means smoke is usually smoking somebody. That means he's fast. Now, maybe he do it on Monday. We need him to do that on Sunday.
Well, he was a big-time track athlete.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me where Carver High School is in Georgia.
Mike, I do not know. I don't recognize that down. I don't recognize that as a metropolitan school around Atlanta.
They won the Class 5A. They win the semifinals.
Yeah, they could be like, Atlanta is so big. Mike, you could say you live in Atlanta.
He says his hometown is Atlanta.
But
Georgia.
But you could be like 80 miles apart. They got like 285 that goes all around. I ever told you that story? No, it's another story. Okay, Evander Holyfield.
And I got plenty of them.
So here's Evander Holyfield.
Can I go to the Warren session?
Evander Holyfield, the boxer, everyone knows. And they wants me to go to his birthday party. Okay, I'm going to go to his house. Evander had like 12 kids and, it was a house full. And I think a few wives and all that. But anyway, so come to his birthday party. Now, Evander Holyfield and myself, we both say, yeah, I live in Atlanta. I lived in North Atlanta. He was close to the airport in Fayette County. From my driveway to his driveway was 62 miles away.
Going beyond Baton Rouge.
Yes. And we both say we live in Atlanta.
You coming by today? Yeah, I'll swing by after work.
Yeah, so to go to his birthday party, the traffic,
not to mention traffic, yeah, by helicopter.
It took me like 2 hours and a half to get to his house with the traffic.
Yeah, the other guy they've come to terms with is tight end Lucas Crowe. He was a second-team All-SEC tight, All-ACC tight end. He caught 38 passes last year.
Because we were talking about a tight end. Now, say this again, Mike, because I wasn't paying attention.
Lucas Crowe.
Lucas Crowe.
And he's from Kansas. How about that?
And he played for the Chapel Hill Tar Heels? Who?
No, he played for the Pitt Panthers.
Oh, the Pitt Panthers.
And
from Kansas.
And he selected the Saints over, guess who? The Steelers.
Ooh.
So he's not going with his college quarterback. Whoa.
Not going. And he actually started his college career. He was at University of Florida.
Oh, and then he transferred to Pitt.
But what it jumps out at me, he caught 38 passes. Six of them were touchdowns last year.
So that means it has to be a good red zone.
One out of every six passes is a touchdown.
A red zone target?
Kenny Pickett trusted him.
Right.
But, man, I got a better shot to make the Saints. I look at that tight end roster.
I got
a better shot.
Yeah, look, Kenny, I love you, and I like our relationship at Pitt. But I got to make
but
it
I
like you
go.
Make it. Yeah, I'm trying to look, take advantage of my best opportunity. Now, how big is he, Mike? What is his size?
6'5", I think 260 pounds.
Oh, and so that looks the part. Now,
if you recruited by Florida.
Yes.
I know one thing. They ain't taking no two-star recruit.
So Mike, that'd be a shame, though. If he's 6'5", 260, he has to be able to run block a little bit.
He knows how to get in the way.
Yeah. Come on. Please run block a little bit so you can set the edge. I mean, because when you think about a running play, and look how the Titans are structured and all that. Because
they're looking for guys that can block.
Well, okay, so when you think, though, like a run play, and you are a tight end, like LSU's been having this problem. It's like a liability. They can't set the edge.
No.
Because when you have a tight end and it's a running play, you like a tackle. You know, who you got to block. And what's your responsibility? So, yeah, that's what I think's missing compared to, like, I mean, I played with two of the best run-blocking tight ends ever in the history. Yeah. With Hobie Brenner and John Tice, oh, my God, they used to dominate people. I told you the story about Ricky Jackson. Ricky Jackson, Hall of Famer. He said the games are easy compared to practice. Going against Hobie Brenner, oh, my God, he goes, I can whip all those guys, those other teams. Hobie's the hardest guy I'm going against, and that's in practice. You don't see those blocking tight ends like that anymore.
No way. So the Saints had five picks when we were talking. It feels like it's the way it's been the last few years. They had five picks in 22. They had seven to begin with. In 2021, they finished with six picks. In 2020, they finished with four picks. In 2019, they had five picks. So, I mean, this is a franchise that has been win now, you know, and that's the way it's been since the 2018 draft when they had seven. One, two, three, four.
Yeah.
Just the way it's been.
Hey, Hoss, in my opening statement, my State of the Union for the Who Dat Nation, always do this before the draft, and I'm glad you brought that up because to show you how significant the Saints are, okay, I got to find this in my notes because I brought this up. And, and I said this, I don't think the Saints, you know, will package to move up, get a quarterback because they are still in the win-now mode and the future is still now, the 2022 season. And to prove my point, since 2000, okay, that's over two decades, since 2000, that's over two decades, New Orleans has had only 1 year worse than 7-9. So that's basically 500. They're not winning two or three, four games. They've had only 1 year worse than 7-9, and that was the infamous Katrina season before Sean Payton got here. In 2005, they went 3-13. And when you look at that now, so think about that. That's why we just reloaded.
Yeah.
That's why I don't know. I still think the team is kind of like still proven differently where we were last year. Can we get the double-digit wins? I've talked to Deuce about this. I still think we're right there on the cusp of being like a 9-8 10-7 type team.
No, they're better. I just think they're better.
But
9-8 was with four different starting quarterbacks. Four.
Okay, but look what
no NFL team had to do that.
Okay, but why would Las Vegas go have the over and under 7.5 to 8?
Sean Payton, I told you.
That's what I'm saying.
I get it. So I'm just saying this is. I thought we were talking about just this is a better team. I don't look at 22 and go, well, they're 9-8. They're in that 9-8, 10-7. I think this is a much better team. That 9-8 team last year with four different starting quarterbacks, again, no NFL team started four different
And if our defense plays like it played last year, and I think it will, and our offense, I don't know how, with Michael Thomas coming back, how we could not be better. So that's why I don't know, like Vegas, even without Sean Payton, Pete Carmichael's called the plays when Sean was out in Bounty Gate. We had the number one offense.
Right. Dennis Allen was defensive coordinator. Coach. You look at the players they drafted.
If I just showed you
the players and said, Sean Payton drafted these guys, you'd go, okay.
Yeah.
Nobody would bat an eye.
That's why when I look at Mike, I was 7.5, now it's 8. If I'm telling the Houdat Nation, I'm still saying bet the over.
Me too.
That the Saints. I don't see how – Now, 8, I don't see how they cannot, if they're trending in the right direction, to be at least 9-8. And now I think they're good enough to be double-digit winning a season, which would be 10 wins, and you're in the postseason, you know, so. Yeah.
The other thing, guys, they also have come to terms with DeMarcus Field, who is a former track sprinter. He has started 4 years at Texas Tech. But
get your guns up.
Man. He was a 100-200-meter track guy. He finished fourth in the state of Texas in both events as a senior, and he was also a triple jumper. So you're talking about you talk about a really good athlete, and he's got good size as a corner also. So, man, he started 12 games last year, 11 games last year. For Texas Tech, and he had a few injuries, but he's a 5'11", 3-quarter, 200-pound kid. But, man, what I like to see about speed.
Yeah, because you can't coach speed. You got to be born with that. Right. Now, you might be able to develop and get a little faster, but you have to be born.
You can't get you and I fast.
You have to be – that's something that's natural. You can get coached up, but speed kills and yeah, the bottom line, if you fast, you fast. If you slow, you slow. I mean, that usually doesn't change that much.
Yep.
We are awaiting Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis to come to the lectern to speak to us. We will take a quick break, and we will come back and hopefully have Mickey and then our final thoughts to wrap up Draft Fest 2022. Mike Hoss, Bobby Avier, Mike Dettelier, take a quick break. We are live at the Rouses at Airline Highway and LaBar here on WBL Radio, AMFM, and .com and the Odyssey app. Welcome back, Mike Hoss, Draft Fest. Let's go right to Mickey Loomis at Saints Camp.
And the assets that you have, and we gave away some things in the future, and I didn't really want to give away anything else. There were some players that we liked. Yeah, maybe in a different year we might have tried to go get, but we used some restraint.
Was it difficult to, especially the 34th round, obviously? I know we spoke earlier this offseason about a lot of the depth in those rounds specifically.
Yeah.
Does it feel kind of like a missed opportunity at points, where do you see that?
I think, when you're sitting there and you don't have a pick, you see some players that, man, I'd really like to have that guy. I think there's a little – there's not regret, because then you think about, okay, we wouldn't have been able to, do these other things if we still had those picks. So I feel really good about where we ended up in this draft.
You obviously could have drafted any receiver, so to speak, by waiting at 16 or 19 since.
Yeah.
So there was such a long run of receivers at that time. What made –
Yeah, I think I'm going to talk about just philosophy. You guys have heard me say this before. We are of the philosophy that you find somebody that you love and you go get them. And that's what we did here. There was somebody that we really loved and went and got him. And the opportunity presented itself. And, we're excited about that. His skill set, fits what we were looking for. And there was There was a number of good receivers in this draft, and all of them would have helped us. And yet, I think Chris is the guy that his skill set fits what we're looking for perfectly.
In what sense?
Yeah, just speed. You know, here's what I like about all of our draft picks. For one thing, tough, smart. They're all seniors. They're all captains. You know, they fit the profile of what we want as, you know, as players in our locker room, and so it begins with that.
Why do you guys like seniors?
I just think there's a maturity level that comes with that in general. We've drafted plenty of juniors, and they've been great, but Mr. Benson would always ask me, man, is he a senior? Because he wanted guys that had more experience and maturity. And I think there's a little bit to that.
How are you able to narrow your focus in free agency now that you've added five players?
Yeah, it's a good question. So, you know, when we look at our roster, we've got all these magnets up, right? And there's blank magnets that get us from, you know, where we're at to 90. And some of those magnets get filled in with draft picks. Some of them get filled in with college free agents. But there'll be a couple left over. And some of the magnets have, you know, comments on them. We must have a player at this position that can, you know, is ready to play in the NFL right now. And some of them are needs, some of them are musts, and some of them are just wants. We call that, you know, that's the way we categorize them. And so, you know, when the, you know, college free agents, you know, when that thing gets done, we're going to have a couple blank magnets, and you know, we'll look toward free agency, the remaining free agents, veteran free agents that are out there, and maybe even the trade market. You know, we'll see.
Will any of those say must?
Yeah, one of them will, for sure. Yeah.
Tell us what that is?
Yeah, no, not really. You guys can guess that. You probably know it already.
How early in the process were you all pretty convinced that Olave was going to be somebody that you kind of covet?
Yeah. Well, we liked, you know, that whole top group of receivers, and had a vision for each one of them on our roster. But I would say that, you know, the guys there, and it was close. I'm not, you know, when we say we coveted one over the other, it was really close. I mean, you'd take any of them. But we also knew that there was going to be a run on receivers early, and getting one of them at our position at 16 was probably unlikely, despite, you know, there was a number of these mock drafts that had a couple of these guys falling to us, and that gets a little enticing, but the way we saw the draft unfold, we didn't think that was going to happen.
Knowing that you guys had limited draft capital this year, what made you comfortable drafting Alante in the second round at kind of like a position of strength? That's something you guys have done in the past.
Yeah, I think that comes down to you know, you get to the point where, you got to take the best players, because look, early on in the draft, when you have a group of players that are close together at different positions, you can pick the position that, you know, that you most need. But later in the draft, oftentimes, you know, you only have one or two magnets up there, and they may not be at the positions where you have the must magnet.
Was adding a cornerback a priority, or was that just an opportunity?
I'd say opportunity. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely we do. Absolutely we do. I think Jeff's talked about that before, about building a strength and particularly at a position that's, you know, a high value position.
When you say you guys had your own projections that were a little different than some mocks you saw, did you guys correctly predict that no quarterbacks would go before you guys were on the board? I mean, was that something you anticipated?
It depends on the day, right? Depends on the day.
And did you kind of go into this draft assuming that position was never going to line up for you? you know, and be a position that you guys wanted to take?
Yeah, I don't know that we assumed that. But look, we had those guys on the board and in good spots. You know, there's a lot of qualities about each of them that we like, but we didn't really have the opportunity to take them when you know, when we valued them.
Yeah, obviously a lot of Senior Bowl guys again this year. You know, what about the Senior Bowl just kind of commends itself to finding?
Yeah, I don't think that's conscious by us. Obviously we get, you know, that's an extra look, an extra evaluation. We send pretty much our whole staff to the Senior Bowl, so we have a lot of eyes on players there. We're pretty thorough, you know, with interviews, and Jim Nagy and their staff there is really accommodating, you know, not just to us, but to all the teams. And so we just get more information and you know, the more you're around, you know, players, I think the more you end up liking them. So, but it's not a conscious thing by us. You know, it's not a box that we're checking when we're going through this process, you know, that the guy was at the Senior Bowl.
Mickey, have they done anything at the Senior Bowl better in the last 4 or 5 years? Because it seems like everybody who plays in that game, they get jobs.
Yeah. Well, look, I think, first of all, you know, again, Jim and his staff do a great job of evaluating the players that they invite, and they make it a great experience. Obviously, because, you know, those players are getting drafted, that makes future players want to go there. They realize it's an opportunity to put their best foot forward. And so I think the experience for the players, number one, is good, and I think the opportunity for us to, you know, get information has been really good. And especially, you know, the previous couple of years, you know, during COVID, that was difficult, but yet it was another opportunity, so. Yeah, you know, that's just part of the evaluation, you know, and what our coaches do. And you know, we've had some success, you know, with Jari Evans, and there's been some other guys, Juwan Bushrod, for example. You know, we've had some linemen from, you know, from smaller schools be successful. And you know, Doug Marone was a big part of that process when he was here before. So we're not afraid to take, you know, guys and let our eyes, you know, we trust our eyes. We trust the eyes of our scouts and our coaches.
What do you like about him in particular?
Yeah, he's big and athletic, right? And he's got a little mean streak, too.
So you'll give us the list of UDFA so we can wrap
up
and go?
No, not yet.
I do want to ask you about that, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question, you know, because, look, we pay a lot of attention to it. I think a lot of teams do. I think this is one area that our scouts are particularly adept at and understand, man, how does this guy fit our team? Our scouts do a good job of having a vision for some of these players that maybe our coaches and other maybe we've only had one or two looks at them in terms of the scouts, and yet they understand our team. Our coaches do a great job of communicating with our scouts about what they're looking for, and our our scouts have a good eye for those players that fit what our coaches want. And so, yeah, we've had a lot of success in that area, and it's I think, you know, when the drafts get evaluated, we kind of forget about those guys that have had success here. And I mean, you guys can go through the list of guys in the last 10 years, 12 years that we've had that are college free agents that have had success. And I think it's a pretty extensive list, and I'd match it against anyone's.
Is that an area where you can take some of maybe the prototype stuff that
yeah.
you do with the draft and maybe not look at it as hard, like with somebody like Deontay Spates?
Yeah, I think sometimes you're looking for, maybe it's not prototype, but you're looking for some unique or elite trait or some unique or elite production, which in Deontay's case he had, you know, in school. And yeah.
Thank you.
One position you guys didn't address in free agency or the draft, really, running back, not knowing Alvin's status in particular.
Yeah.
Does some of that have to do with you really were impressed with what you saw from Mark when he came back and still had a lot of juice left?
Well, yeah. I mean, certainly we're familiar with Mark. I think part of that is opportunity and look, we didn't have a pick in the third and fourth round. There was a lot of running backs taken. There was a run of running backs taken, as I recall. It was about the third round, right? But there's a magnet there, right? Yeah. That's one of the blank ones.
Yeah. But do you feel pretty good about where Mark is
at
the stage, I guess?
Absolutely, yeah. We do. Anything else? Thank you, guys.
Mickey Loomis, Executive Vice President and General Manager of the New Orleans Saints, wrapping up the Saints portion of at least the draft, not the work, as you talked about, undrafted free agents. He talked about restraint, a lot of different things that went into their five picks today. Mike?
Yeah, and also the Saints have come to terms with Jack Corner, a three-year starter at free safety at Iowa. Guess what he was at Iowa, Mike?
Team captain. I'll tell you, man.
Well, we love the team. But we love leaders.
leaders. Experienced leaders.
Yeah. And two LSU guys, Glenn Logan, went to Destrehan. He is signing with the Packers. And Darrell Evans, who started his career at Nicholls State, transferred to LSU. He's agreed to terms with the New York Giants.
Now, is that the cornerback, Mike?
Cornerback. Yeah. And Ryan Wright, who we talked about, the big punter from Tulane, he's agreed to terms with the Minnesota Vikings.
Now, the one thing, Mickey says, the success, because some people, they only look at big schools. Like, he went to Northern Iowa, how good he could be. Okay, then Mickey brings up, look where Jermon Bushrod and Jari Evans went to school. Then look at Willie Rofe. Yep. He went to and then you look Teron Armstead. I was thinking more Teron Armstead, Arkansas Pine Bluff. That's like Southern or Grambling. So you look at building. That's why when I look at Trevor Penning at Northern Iowa, you know this is the second straight season a Northern Iowa offensive line was drafted. Last year, offensive tackle Spencer Brown went in the third round to the Bills. Yep. So, I mean, listen, if you can play, they're going to find you. It doesn't matter where you go and how you develop. Now, the one thing that I thought was interesting, how the Saints are structured. You know how you always say you got to win in the trenches? Now, I don't know about Cesar Ruiz winning in the trenches. I hope he wins in the trenches. But look at this. In the mix, look, now that you add Trevor Penning, the Saints will have four first-round picks along their offensive line. Because you look at Trevor Penning, joining Andres Pete, 2015, Cesar Ruiz, 2020, Ryan Ramczyk, 2017. So, Mike, four.
You shouldn't get beat up front then.
Yes, all first rounders. That's why we shouldn't win on the offensive line.
Tay Martin, a young man who went to Ellender High School, started out at Washington State. And if last year you watched Oklahoma State play, he was unbelievable. Man, he torched Notre Dame. He's agreed to terms with the San Francisco 49ers. So, Tay Martin joins Ty Davis Price. But Tay, Ellender High School, first guy I told him this. I don't ever remember a dude from the Bayou going to Washington State.
Yeah.
He goes there and then he leaves.
Man, that's like a different part of the world. And, you think about it. You're going from the Bayou to Washington. It's like a different country.
And then he ends up at Oklahoma State.
Yeah,
Stillwater. Puts up some great numbers. And now he's going to San Francisco.
That's an easy drive. Let's do this. Let's wrap it up. And so, heck of a draft. Five players answered some needs, make the fans happy, and you got to do both at the same time.
Yep.
So I'm going to go each of you. Just give me this football team, this organization is better following this draft because why?
Because I think they addressed the offense. We need an offense at least middle of the pack, not 27 or 28th. And I think Trevor Penning and Alave and hopefully Mickey maybe has that diamond in the rough, that veteran free agent he might bring on board. Boy, I would love. You don't talk to Who Dat Nation go crazy. What, they got Jarvis Landry? What?
Okay.
With the wide receiving core, would that be awesome or what?
It'd be awesome, but here's my deal. The big glaring weakness that we'd have is that safety, Tyrann Mathieu.
Honey, but okay, if you only could pick one, who you think they would – Would they go more after Jarvis or Honey Badger? I think it can go either way.
I think they go after Honey Badger.
Okay.
That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
Because they have not addressed that receiver position.
Bobby, you're going offense just in general.
And then Jameis Winston, I have no excuse. Right. Come on, you got all these weapons now? Come on.
Well, I don't think Jameis uses excuses.
No, I know. I'm just saying they're supporting Kaz, though.
Yeah.
But the addition of if you can get a healthy Michael Thomas.
Yes.
And Chris Olave comes in. How much that can help your offense?
All right, you guys stink, man.
No, you guys stink.
Here's what I'm going to say, let me give you a stat first, because this would lead me to think about this. So the Saints were ranked 31st in NFL passing yards, 192 per game. But you can kind of go, well, is that a wideout? Is it good passes, passes, whatever? And, you know, four different starting quarterbacks. But wide receivers and tight ends last in the NFL for combined receptions per game. 11.8. Michael Thomas, in a typical game in 2019, that was a game for him.
A game, every game.
Now that's the combined average of wide receiver and tight end catches for this football team. Hold on, I'm almost there. So how much last year did we spend on the wide receiver room? What, tell me about the wide, it was weak.
That's why even though you got a defensive head coach, he has enough common sense. It's like, no, I want to keep getting defensive players because that's my background. We got to get the offense better. We got a top five defense. We got to get the offense better. That's unacceptable.
Yep. The pitch and catch combination.
Yeah, exactly.
Mike Thomas, Callaway, Hardy, Traquan Smith, and now Chris Olave. Thanks to everybody. Thanks to Donnie Rouse, engineer Luke Augusta, Dave Potter, who's been back at the studio. Of course, Christian Garrett, Deuce McAllister, who were with us earlier on, Bobby Hebert, Mike D'Attelier. I'm Mike Haas. Thanks for joining us for Draft Fest 2022. We'll see you soon. Mini camp right around the corner.
Yeah. Give it a good night, Bear.
Yeah, bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who dat? Come see me and Mike at the Silver Slipper Monday night.
4 to 7. And Christian Garrick, 10:30 to 12:30 with Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Tomorrow morning.
Who dat?
Good night, everyone.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.